Welcome to our time of worship on this third Sunday in the Easter season. It's hard, isn't it? Not being able to be together for worship. Not being able to see one another, catch up on our lives, sing our hymns together. It's disappointing having to be in our own homes. And yet, we remain the church. We remain united in our faith, in our care for one another, united in our love of Christ. And Jesus promises to be with us always, to never leave or forsake us. So know that Jesus is here in our midst, is there in your home and in mine here. And let us join our hearts together in worship on this day. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. As we begin our worship, as we turn to God's word this morning, let's begin with prayer. God of new life, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds that as scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be able to enter into your truth, that we may be shown your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our scripture for today is taken from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, on that same day, that would be Easter day, the day of Christ arose. Now on that same day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem that does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him? They did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going to go further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord. You know, children's books can sometimes capture truths in a way that nothing else can. That's what I was reminded of when Rebecca Korselman shared the text for a children's book this week. The book is called Fortunately. It's by Raimi Charlap. Rebecca said the text went something like this. Fortunately, one day Ned got a letter that said, "Please come to a surprise party." But unfortunately, the party was in Florida and he was in New York. Fortunately, a friend loaned him an airplane. Unfortunately, the motor exploded. Fortunately, there was a parachute in the airplane. Unfortunately, there was a hole in the parachute. Fortunately, there was a haystack on the ground. Unfortunately, there was a pitchfork in the haystack. After several more fortunate and unfortunate adventure, the story ends with Ned dug himself into a fancy ballroom. Fortunately, there was a surprise party going on, and fortunately, the party was for him because, fortunately, it was his birthday. I like the story. It speaks to the ups and downs of life. Things go right and we celebrate. Then something goes wrong and we agonize. And then something goes right again. And in some situations, it's our attitude that can make all the difference. We can always find something to complain about, but we can almost just as assuredly find something to celebrate. This COVID-19 era is no exception. Unfortunately, we are suffering from a pandemic. Fortunately, people are pulling together, following safety recommendations to keep the most vulnerable among us safe. Unfortunately, the whole world is suffering from this pandemic. Fortunately, we are seeing the slogan, "We're in this together," echoing throughout the world. How often do we have an opportunity to come together as a human race rather than take sides against one another as political parties or even as nations? This whole pandemic is very unfortunate, but some fortunate things can be found in it too. In our text from Luke today, we can find the same fortunate, unfortunate dynamic. Cleopas and his friend are dejectedly walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. The distance is 7 miles, almost the distance of our church from Logansport. They are walking in the certainty that their rabbi Jesus was dead. Fortunately, women had witnessed that Jesus was alive and told the disciples so. Unfortunately, the women's witness sounded like foolishness to the disciples. They did not believe the women's testimony. Fortunately, as the travelers were walking to Emmaus, another man joins them on the way who turns out to be Jesus himself. Unfortunately, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They could not see that it was Jesus. The travelers could not see that it is Jesus, and who could blame them? You see what you expect to see, and you never expect to see a man who you knew died on a cross and was shut into a tomb. You never expect to see that man again, let alone find him along the road as you travel. Upon Jesus' inquiry, Cleopas and his companion, distraught, their eyes downcast, tell Jesus of the events of the past days. And as they begin to speak, it all spills out, not only the handing over of Jesus by the chief priests and leaders, but their hopes dashed. We had hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel. And they go on. Besides all this, some women came this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. It's almost like once Cleopas and his companion got started, their grief and anxiety and confusion all came tumbling out. on this third Sunday of Easter, the risen Jesus comes alongside us and asks, "What things are you discussing?" When he hears us as we pour out our hearts to him. Cleopas voices hopelessness. It is hopelessness that we may feel in this time as well, a hopelessness which I suspect all of us feel at one point or another in our lives. Cleopas says, "We had hoped," past tense. "We had hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel." And we say, "We had hoped." We had hoped to celebrate Easter. We had hoped to finish the school year. We had hoped to have a graduation ceremony. We had hoped. And then the virus came. Then Cleopas adds, "Besides all this, the woman came with a confusing tale." And we say, "Besides all this, the economy is wrecked. We've been told to stay home not for weeks, but for months. There may well be a resurgence of cases in the fall. We do not know who to trust, what advice to follow, when we will be able to be together again. Besides all this, we, like Cleopas, are confused by events." Jesus hears all that Cleopas and his companions say, and he hears all that we say. Then he responds, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe." How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared, he says to the traveling companions. And then Jesus goes on, beginning with Moses and the prophets, to interpret for the travelers to Emmaus all the things about himself in Scripture. Jesus' suffering and death in light of the Scriptures were to be understood not as a defeat of God's purpose, but as a pathway to new life. Later, the travelers would say their hearts burned within them as he spoke. We remember our Scriptures as well. The fear of the disciples in a boat during a raging storm, Jesus said to them at that time, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" And he calms the waves. And he says to his disciples before he leaves them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." The Scriptures, God's word, offers consolation and assurance that God is with us. God's plan, God's will is at work and will not be thwarted. So we can study the Scriptures, remind ourselves that there is no need to fear. God is faithful and God is in control. After explaining the Scriptures, Jesus joins the travelers in a meal. At the table, Jesus took bread, and when he had blessed and broke it, he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Jesus took and blessed and broke and gave. These familiar actions had become powerful symbols. Jesus used them in the feeding of the 5,000, and again he used the same words at the Last Supper. He took, he blessed, he broke, he gave. These familiar gestures opened their eyes. They are the same actions that Christians through the ages and around the world use as we follow Jesus' command to do this in remembrance of me. When we had the drive-through communion service at our church on Easter morning, we began the morning with those few who were assisting, joining me in consecrating the elements through the words of institution and partaking together in the sacrament. When communicants drove up to receive on that Easter morning, they were reminded of those words again. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." There is power in the familiar words and in receiving the elements. Some that morning were moved almost to tears. The Scriptures and the sacrament are given to us as gifts. We recognize Jesus' presence in them as the travelers to Emmaus recognize Jesus' presence. We find comfort and reassurance in the midst of the uncertainty of life, even in the midst of this time of pandemic. Our assurance is not just for our comfort, however. When Cleopas and his companions recognized Jesus, they immediately got up and rushed back to Jerusalem to witness to what they had experienced. We are called to do the same, to receive God's comfort and assurance, to let it transform and heal our wounded souls, and then to share that healing presence with others. Take, bless, break, give. Those are the actions of the communion meal. Jesus wants us to take what we have, our knowledge and love of God, our wealth, our hospitality, whatever it is that we have been blessed with, to take it and bless it, in other words, give it to God, and then break it open, not holding tight for ourselves, but opening it up to give from so that all will have enough. It's not enough to simply pray that God will change things, will feed the hungry and clothe the naked. God needs us to participate in this Eucharistic action. God is calling us to take our lives and bless them and be broken open and then given away in service of others. Jesus does this with the bread every time he shares a meal. And he does this with his life, lives it for God, breaks it open, gives it to us. Jesus feeds us not just with bread, but with himself, with his body, his life, his love, his compassion, his strength, his forgiveness, his hope. With all that he is and all that he has, he feeds us. Unfortunately, we live in a broken, hurting world, a world at this time reeling from the uncertainty of a global pandemic. Fortunately, we have a Savior whose love knows no bounds, a Savior known to us through Scripture and sacraments, a Savior who gave his life and rose again to overcome death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us turn our hearts to God in prayer. Even if we are not in the same physical space together, we can pray. We pray because prayer changes things. It changes us. So wherever we are this day, let us now join our hearts together as we pray for our world, our nation, our church, and our lives. Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and loving God, we gather our hearts together in prayer. We turn to you, remembering you and relying on you to help us, to guide us, and to give us strength and love. Give us a spirit of kindness and help us to think about our neighbors, the ways in which we can help them, the ways in which we can allow them to help us. Into our anxiety, sow peace. Into our fear, sow courage. Into our confusion, sow wisdom. Into our division, sow love. We pray for all those who are experiencing illness of any kind. Heal their bodies and heal their souls. Protect all those who are affected by the coronavirus. Keep them safe and help them heal. Be with the nurses and doctors, surgeons, scientists, chaplains, paramedics, all as they seek to care for people and to heal them. Bring them wisdom and insight and keep them strong themselves. Help all caregivers to be renewed and to get the rest they need to continue to serve as they would like. We pray for those who are most vulnerable in this world. Help us to be the hands and feet of Christ, bringing healing attention and love to all those in need. Give us joy and laughter to share with one another, as well as food and safety and justice. Holy God, we pray for all leaders of our nation and our world. Fill them with the spirit of wisdom and courage, that they may lead rightly, driven by compassion for all people. Strengthen our leaders with clarity and soften them with humility, as we know that no human being is infallible and all people need your grace. We pray for your creation, God. Help us to care for all that you have given us. Make us faithful stewards. Guide our actions. Help us to resist taking more than our fair share. Fill us with a spirit of generosity and a sense of security, that we may be free of fear and filled with your spirit of abundance and sufficiency. God of all creation, we pray for the church in all places, that even as we worship in separate places and at different times, even so, bind us together into one human family. Help us who are Christian to be the body of Christ, loving and serving the world and all the peoples that you have created. Even now, in all our different places, we join our voices with the voice of Jesus who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.